From Fox League, Yvonne Sampson, morning to you. How are you, Vonnie?
I'm wonderful. How are you, boys? Good morning to you all.
Yeah, going very well. I loved your suggestion for Loz's Sluggos, what to be immortalised on the back of his budgies.
Oh, yeah, the sexy time shower shoot for men of league.
He might be able to put his nose on there now, Vonnie, then he's going to cut that off.
Loz, don't do that.
I know. What's he doing?
Don't.
It's going, Vonnie.
No.
It's going. We've got about another 2 months of it.
Oh, I'm going to get photos. When I'm back in studio next week, Vonnie, I'm taking so many photos, so I never forget it.
I'm going to start up a Twitter account, Loz's Snout, and and just campaign to have it. Yeah.
Keep the snout.
We love you, Loz. Don't
change. Oh, Vonnie, I've got to ask. Now, we got a lot of comments today on NRL 360 last night about my rug. Did it look bad to you?
No. So, just like, fake. This is a very personal question. Is that your hair?
Yes, it is. It is my hair.
Okay, all right. So now
didn't look unnatural at all. Is it your hair?
Well, no, I ask because they put fake hair in me every night because I've got really thin hair. So all here's the thing, for every punter out there, every single woman on TV has fake hair clipped into their head. And it's like a scene from Roald Dahl, The Witches. When we get on there, we just pull these bits of hair off and we're left with three strands on our head. So look, I'm not against, you know, enhancements or whatever you need to get done. Get around, you know, whatever you need. But if you need some hair, that's fine. But now that we've established it is 100% daily hair, I don't remember it looking unusual. I thought you looked great.
Well, I didn't think it looked unusual as well. But I must say, when the photo came through this morning, because I usually have it a bit spiky, you know?
Yeah.
And it was sort of flat last night. And they must have tried to cover up the car parks on the side. So I think that's why I looked a little bit different.
You know what they call that in the industry? The hair's been overworked. Because if you had a shoot on that day, so you've already got product in it from earlier that day, and then you jump into the hair and makeup department at Fox, then they add more product and it's different product and it's in combat with itself. So it, you know, just weighs the hair down. So and I tell you what, the viewers don't miss a trick.
They don't miss anything, Vonnie. They pick you up on everything and they look at what you've got on. And they're very critical at times. But we love
trust
them.
Me.
A day in show business with Laurie Daly, everyone. How about it?
But you're right, Loz. It's chaos before that show.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it? It's just, and then Paul Kenton, I love him, but he's got so many yarns to get away before we're on air.
I'll tell you what, Kenny is the most laid-back bloke before he goes on air, and then obviously he gets on air and he rips in, but I reckon he's the last in that chair every week.
Yep, last to load in the barrier. and the stewards are behind him, you know, they've got the rump rope on trying to get him in because we're like 30 seconds and he's still nowhere to be seen. He comes in like a whirlwind, sits down and just launches, you know, always jumps cleanly and away he goes.
Away he goes,
yeah. I'm first to load. I'm in there half an hour beforehand trying to work out what I'm trying to do because I'm not a pro. But, yeah, it is funny how people operate. But then because we're on that Wednesday and there's always the legends in and we just get talking and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, no, there's a bloody show to get on with. So, yeah, no, it is fun, isn't it?
It is good.
Bit of Origin chat this week. We're just talking about Paul McGregor, set to be appointed New South Wales assistant coach, but certainly the bigger news has been what's going on with the Queensland head coaching role. Is it absolutely certain that Billy Slater will become the Queensland coach, Vonnie?
Look, I would lock him in. I'd do it a Loz's lock. I think Billy Slater, you know, he's the 8-time State of Origin champion. He's won 2 Wally Lewis medal and the Ron McAuliffe medal recipient as well. 31 appearances for the Maroons. And, of course, who could forget when he announced himself on the State of Origin scene with that incredible chip and chase that had Mini and all sorts of tangles. And we knew instantly that he would become a Queensland great, which he did as a player. The QRL this week have tabled a 3-year deal to Billy and his manager just to, you know, say that this is our commitment to you. We want you as our head coach. And, look, Billy is obviously a future immortal and there's nothing that he hasn't accomplished as a player. And I think having worked, when I was working years ago as a journalist and we'd go into Queensland camps, so you get more of an idea, and Loz, you'd know this, when you're in those camps, you get more of an idea of the breakdown of the dynamics in team, you know, who's saying what, you know, who's got the voice, who's got the leadership. And I have to say, Billy, and these were the years that Mal was in charge, Billy had a big say in a lot of things. And because he sat at fullback, he was able to see everything defensively, he could see everything attack, and he would come together. And so it would often be, you know, Cronk and Thurston and Smith and Slater. And Slater would be the one saying, let's push down here and, you know, sweep around here. And so he was not the architect, but he certainly had a lot of the good ideas that obviously worked so well for Queensland through that dynasty. And really, it was a decade of dominance. So I think Billy Slater, not only is he drenched in all this glory from State of Origin, but I think he brings the passion. He's got the work ethic. He's got the know-how. Yes, he's a first-time coach. And any sort of rookie coach is a bit of a gamble, but I think Billy would be, you know, we've never seen Billy fail at anything, and I certainly don't think he would not live up to all of our very lofty expectations as a Queensland coach. Loz, you know better than anyone, coaching Origin is very different, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that, you know, if you're an NRL coach, you'll have instant success at Origin level either. So, you know, hopefully Billy has everything that he needs. He needs to surround himself with the good people. We know that Mal Meninga approached to help be a mentor. The ARL were not comfortable with that. And we only have to go back, 35 years ago with the Wally Lewis scandal being left out of the Australian side. So, look, Mal will step aside. And I'm sure, look, if Billy picked up the phone to Mal, you know, that's not illegal. But it sort of opens the door for one Wayne Bennett who doesn't have a job next year. So you'd imagine that there will be some sort of steady head. And like even on 360 last night, they tossed up Craig Bellamy, even though he's a New South Welshman. But given the relationship and the understanding between Slater and Bellamy, you'd expect that there would be some sort of crossover. But it's a really strong step forward for the QRL. I think they realised that this year's series was an absolute catastrophe, and they've made a big step forward.
Vonnie, will he keep Jonathan Thurston and then even Cameron Smith? Will he get those two involved? I know Thurston was there again this year, but will those two be involved? And I guess as a Queensland supporter, are you nervous at all the fact that he's got no coaching experience? I know he was an amazing player, that undeniable, but he's got no coaching experience at all.
It doesn't bother me, but I can see the point that people are making. You know, it's such a big investment for someone who has absolutely no experience and stepping into such a large role. I'd imagine that JT would stay on. I would not be surprised to see Cameron Smith join the ranks, and not too dissimilar to what Freddie's done with, you know, Joey and Danny Badiris and Greg Alexander. And you mentioned that Craig Fitzgibbon is stepping down because he's got to focus solely on what's happening at the Sharks, and that'll be a great step forward in his career as an NRL coach next year. So with Mary coming on, again, you've got to have that, almost that, not that DNA is the wrong word, but just that inherent knowledge. And I think having Cameron Smith and JT involved would be great. But also maybe someone like a Neil Henry who, you know, who's been there for a little while and, you know, sort of would have a touchstone to the past to say, hey, look, when this happened, this is how we handled it. But I'd expect a decision from Billy pretty soon. I think they're just working out, you know, obviously salary, what he's worth, how he's going to juggle it with his Channel 9 commitments, with his family. Obviously, he lives down in Melbourne. He runs a beautiful thoroughbred business down there. He does a bit of breeding. So he'll have a full plate. But, you know, there's one thing we know about Billy Slater is that he's a champion. He'll give it his all, that's for sure.
What did you make of the first week of the finals, Vonnie? And in particular, you know, what Melbourne were able to do to Manly and their ability to execute a game plan and stop the involvement of Tom Trbojevic and the master coach, Wayne Bennett, getting one over Ivan Cleary.
Oh, I nearly fell off my chair when that post-match press conference went down. When Ivan started down the track saying, you know, I got it wrong, I shouldn't have got involved, you know, this, the blame's on me. And but then he sort of said, look, you know, we don't do this. We're not protecting Nathan. But I just wanted clarity from the referees. And then we thought, oh, no, Ivan, you've made a rookie error there. You've now dancing with the devil in Wayne Bennett. And because Wayne came in afterwards and had the last say, it was just like, get the popcorn out. It was such good theatre. And to see Wayne go, well, he's the one that started running his mouth off. He started it. I didn't do anything. I was like, oh, my God, what are we watching here? And you know what? At the end, it was actually, you know, in a season of landslide records, I think the Panthers and the Bunnies, that was an amazing contest. It was tight. To keep the Panthers to one try was very unexpected. And there was just a change in the atmosphere with the Bunnies. You could just tell they went, oh, we're back here, because everyone had been so focused on the no Latrell situation and Blake Taff, how's he going to go on his first finals appearance, and what's Wayne going to do with this team? Are they done? Are they going to have that energy that we thought they had mid-season? And they did. They came out and they bounced the Panthers. So it was. I thought that was probably the game of the round for me last week. Storm were just amazing. I didn't expect them to be that dominant. I thought Manly would be far more competitive. But it just says more about the Storm, really, that they're switched on. They wanted that week off, and now they're straight through to the preliminary final. And we've got the Storm and the Bunnies now just 80 minutes away from our premiership game. So, yeah, I love the Bunnies' result. It put this, what we thought was always going to be a, you know, a two- or three-horse race. It's flipped it on its head, and, you know, I'm not mad about it at all.
Yvonne Sampson joining us from Fox League, and certainly a big talking point out of the judiciary this week. Sam Verrills copying 2 weeks after failing to get a downgrade for that shot on Brian Kelly on the weekend. Vonnie, certainly we've had quite a few texts actually supporting the two-week ban. Amazingly, they all seem to be South supporters. But anyway, look, I thought it was ridiculous that he got 2 weeks. Your thoughts?
I think the 2 weeks is really tough. But the problem was they pleaded guilty to the charge, but then they went to the judiciary to get it downgraded from a week one suspension down to a fine, which is what Junior Paulo got for something very similar. So with the Roosters already running on empty, that it was a bit of a risk to go to the NRL judiciary. They knew that they were gambling, that if they lost, they would be facing a two-game ban. And it was an 80-minute hearing, and Verrill's defence team argued that Brian Kelly was falling into the shoulder with most of the force being generated by Sitili Tupanua. But there was a panel of, and this is why we brought in ex-players like Ben Cray, Bobby Lindner and Dallas Johnson, so that they understand in real game situations how this can unfold. But they disagreed. They thought that Verrills had time to get set and didn't show duty of care to avoid contact with the head. I have to say, given the crackdown we've had this year on, you know, just the slightest contact to the head, you know, even players, you know, who were like half a metre off the ground and still being, you know, have copping a knock to the head, that player has been sin binned. I thought it was going to be a sin bin straight away. It wasn't. And, you know, then he ended up at the NRL judiciary. It is harsh for Sam Verrills to miss the 2 weeks, I've got to say, but that was the risk going in. So, yeah, disappointing for his defence team, really disappointing for the Roosters, because they've got now Ben Marshkey, who, not disappointing for him, he's a Bundy boy. So he's out for the biggest game of his life. He's jumping into hooker. And he started this year as a North Sydney Bear. So he made his debut for the Roosters only back in round 4. So all of a sudden, he is in and ready for the game of his life. But, yeah, it's disappointing for Verrills because he won't play again unless the Roosters make the grand final.
It's not a mad Monday without a, I won't say a scandal, but an incident. The Broncos.
With a front page Tuesday.
A couple of the Broncos players found themselves in a bit of trouble.
So it is the silly season where something like this goes down. Look, I don't know. I'm not a rugby league player. I don't know what mad Mondays are. But to have Tom Flegler and Jordan Rickey get into a bit of a wrestle. Now, Flegler's got a bit of a reputation anyway. He's the first to say, guys, I'm a maniac, steer clear. But I think Jordan Rickey started baiting him at some point. And for whatever reason, I don't know if they were drinking. I suppose they would, but...
Let's assume.
Yep, just assume.
I reckon that's step one of Mad Monday. Drink till you spew.
I think it was like a Wednesday. So we don't know how far we're down the track here. So, and I don't know if it was in public either. Anyway, look, on the grand scheme of NRL off-season atrocities, it's not that bad. They've had a wrestle. But it's got bad enough that Jordan Rickey was left a little bit bloodied and bruised, and someone daubed on them to their dad, Ben Eichen, back at the Broncos. So then they got in trouble.
At least they're fighting themselves.
Exactly.
Not someone else in the public. At least the same strength against each other.
Exactly. So, look, they've both been reprimanded for being naughty boys. I think Jordan Rickey had to go have shoulder surgery the next day anyway, which he would have sore head. Yeah, I know. Yeah, can you imagine? So, look, if that's, not to make light of it, but we've certainly seen far worse. I think the boys have been spoken to, and hopefully that's the end of it.
Vonnie, do you know any more on the Lachlan Lewis saga? We were talking about it the other day, and I think for me, Percy, I feel there has to be a lot more going on rather than him being sacked for, you know, trying to sell a $100 stereo.
So weird, this yarn, right? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So a few weeks ago, the NRL issued all the teams these speakers, or it was a big long sound bar, and it was part of, you know, club property, and, you know, it was for them to use in reviews and, you know, just life inside the bubble. So one of the Bulldog staff members was doing an invoice and just checking all the inventory, and they couldn't find the sound bar anywhere. And they went through the hotel CCTV vision, found that Lachlan Lewis had taken it. They then tracked down that he had an eBay account where he had sold the soundbar for $650 to someone in Queensland. So a club official then followed him down into the car park where he was about to meet the courier to send off this soundbar that he'd flogged over the internet. And then they said, mate, what are you doing? This is not yours to sell. So, look, if you, in the fact, it, like, he's stolen from the club and he's trying to profit off stolen goods. So it reads really badly, but it's just an unusual thing to do. I don't know. And the other weird thing is that a week ago, the Bulldogs posted a tribute to all the departing players. So Lachlan Lewis bid goodbye along with Dylan Napa and Nick Meaney and Will Hopewadda and Fiona Katoa and a few others. We know that he was stood down for the last two games of the season for Canterbury Bankstown. They made a statement, you know, in the last couple of days saying that they've, you know, decided to part ways effective immediately. But, yeah, I feel like Lachlan Lewis's time is probably done at the Bulldogs. I don't know what his options are from here on in, but it's an unusual way, and certainly one that a decision he'd probably like to have back, because you don't want to be accused of stealing and profiting from stolen goods. Just looks bad on your rap sheet. I think clubs would probably have to take a look at it. To make sure what sort of character is this guy. But, yeah, it's a bizarre thing for Lachie Lewis. It's certainly one that I didn't think some sort of yarn like this that we'd have this year.
Von Sampson from Fox League joining us. And, Vonnie, just before we get to these previews, I saw last night the other half on Nine News reporting that the Tab Everest, October 16, we might be there.
Oh, God, I hope he's right. How long has it been since we've been able to get trackside? It would be very exciting. And, you know, Peter Volandis has had a lot on his plate, that we know how important the Everest is. So if possible, wouldn't it be wonderful if we're all able to get there?
Bring it on for sure. Let's go to tomorrow night. They're at Mackay, both semi-finals at Mackay. Who would have thought? Vonnie and Manly are $1.26 against the Roosters, $3.90 with Tab, and plus 11.5 at the line. And yes, no Sam Verrills. Marshke to start at dummy half. Takiaho out injured as well. Nat Butcher into the 17. Lachlan Croker returns from a back injury for the Sea Eagles.
Yeah, DCE said the tune-up they got by the Storm last week was just a huge wake-up call, because you'd have to say Melbourne had them covered reasonably comfortably, and it even left our commentators observing how disorganised and perhaps a little bit overawed Manly looked in that moment. Des Hasler, you know, he's been praised for turning these Sea Eagles around. The first 4 weeks were just dire straits. We all thought they were going to get the spoon and Des was going to get sacked, and here he is. He turned them into a top four powerhouse side, capable of causing lots of damage through this final series. We didn't see that last week, which was a concern, because all of a sudden it became very evident that Des had about half a dozen players out there who had never played finals before. And as we know, pressure does some strange things. And I think if we're looking at, they're calling it the new style of Hasler ball. So we've got Foran, DCE, Croker, Schuster and Dylan Walker. That's five natural halves all on the field at one time. So maybe it was a little bit disorganised. I'm sure they're going to get it together this week, because the one thing that Bellamy did, his game plan, it took the sting out of Tom Trbojevic, and Manly just flatlined without him. So as a team, they need to be better. I think Tom will be far better personally. We, you know, there's no doubt of him being the most influential player that we have in the NRL. Marty Tapau, this will be his 200th game. He is looking for his first finals win ever. And he said that Tom took it really personally. He's going to be up for a big game. And don't forget, they've got history makers like Ruben Garrick, who's scored more points than anyone else in rugby league history this season. And they've got those speed machines, Saab and Harper, plus those back row bullies that I love watching, Schuster and Olakuwatu. And we have to do a shout-out to Kieran Foran, who's just become the Benjamin Button of rugby league. The way he's been able to get his game back is something quite extraordinary. And this is his first finals appearance in 2014. So, look, the Sea Eagles will be very, very strong. I think looking at the Roosters, and look, by all rights, they shouldn't even be in this premiership race. They have every excuse under the sun, but for some miracle, Trent Robinson still has them fighting for their third premiership in 4 years. They've overachieved and they've been so brave and committed in that effort, but it just, they look so tired up against the Titans last week. James Tedesco has been staggeringly good, but only he can do so much. So watching the two best fullbacks in the game go head-to-head will be worth the price of admission on Friday night, but I just think Manly are going to be too strong.
I think Manly will win, and I think they can win well. The Roosters, I thought the same as you, Vonnie. I thought they ran out of gas in that game last weekend. They just looked tired, and it's been a tremendous season from them already, but it looked as though injuries have caught up with them. They're out on their feet. They scrambled really well on that last play to deny the Titans the opportunity to score. And if Patrick Herbert passed to David Fifita, I think we're talking about the Titans being in this contest. Manly were just played off a break by Melbourne Storm. Melbourne came out with a ferocity and that caused a lot of trouble for Manly. They were making errors. They limited the impact that Tom had on the game. They just attacked him. They went at him as the leader. They knew that every time he had the ball, they had to make a statement and they had to go after him rather than letting Tom dictate to them. So it was wonderful coaching, but also great execution of a game plan. Manly's right edge, defensively, they really struggled. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if a lot of attack comes down that side. But Tedesco is the key for mine. I think if he can have a storming game, they're a chance of winning. But how much energy have these forwards got left? Jared Weir-Hargreaves, for a big man, has played long minutes this year and he plays a physical game. They've got to get a bit more out of Crichton and Tupanua. I love Radley as a player. You know, and I think even though last weekend he carried a bit of an injury with a shoulder, he got up and kept going. And he's that great link between those young halves in Lamb and Drew Hutchison. So I just think Manly, disappointing last weekend, can hit back in a strong way. The Roosters have had a great season, but unfortunately for them, I think it comes to an end this week. And no Sam Verrills is a big loss.
I'm going to get a margin for these games. So, Vonnie, Manly by how many?
Oh, I think Manly by 12.
Loza?
16, Manly.
Yeah, I'm with Vonnie. Manly by 12. Pup?
Manly by 7.
Like it. Let's go to the next game, Saturday night in Mackay, Parramatta up against the Penrith Panthers. And a similar market to the other game, $1.22 of Penrith. Parramatta $4.30. Line here, 12.5. Parramatta the plus with tap. Team-wise, Ryan Madison returns for the Eels. For Penrith, they get Dylan Edwards and prop Moses Leota back. Moses Leota extended his contract there at the Panthers too until the end of 2024. Both those players, Edwards and Leota, were late withdrawals against Souths last week. So Stephen Crichton moves to the wing. Charlie Staines drops out of the Penrith side. All to play for here, Vonnie. It's going to be some fallout for the loser of this game.
Unbelievable. Saturday night is going to end badly for either Penrith or Parra. Yeah. And begin what will be a really ugly post-mortem on why they weren't able to challenge for this 2021 premiership. Because both are in position, both held internal expectations that they could win a grand final this year. Obviously, Penrith were there and just fell short to the Storm. Parramatta, they keep saying this premiership window and so much pressure on Brad Arthur, especially during that month where they just went completely skew-if. They've got themselves back on track now. But look, the Panthers, Jerome Luai said yesterday, the boys from the Rip are focusing solely on bringing that Proven Summons Trophy home to Western Sydney because they want to give back to their family, their friends, their community and their club. They're all juniors there. they felt like they let them down last year. So that is driving them internally. And even though the Panthers are going to have to do it the hard way, losing week one, which would have come as a bit of a shock to them, they're now facing this sudden death semi-final up against the Eels. Then they've got to beat the Storm next week. And then finally, they front up for grand final day, which no other team has been able to do in the 11 years that this current NRL final system is in place. All the talk this week, boys, as I'm sure you've been aware, is the blockers. It is the buzzword. It's the pressure on kickers. I think Ivan Cleary learnt not to get dragged into slanging matches because, you know, that's definitely a distraction they don't need at this point. I think Nathan Cleary was unusually quiet as well. Apart from that banana kick that led to their first and only try last week, Cleary, you know, just wasn't himself. He didn't have the time and the space to play with that we would expect. And Jerome Luai, again, just didn't have that energy and that intent that, you know, when he links up with someone like Brian Tottle, they're just their attack is so exciting. So I'd imagine that all that precision is going to click back into place this Saturday night in Mackay, which we have to mention, Friday and Saturday, complete sellout. So well done to the locals in Mackay. The Eels did just enough against the Knights. I wouldn't say it was a world-beating performance. They still made 8 errors and missed about 28 tackles, but Brad Arthur's already said they need to be smarter. They need to have a better footy sense up against the Panthers. And, you know, his game plan sings when all the big men are up and rolling. Regan Campbell-Gillard is earmarked for a colossal game. We know he was a Panthers junior. He was cut loose by the club. He admits now it still bothers him. He doesn't even watch the Panthers play anymore. And let's not forget, the Panthers are still paying part of his wage. So it'll hurt them to sit there and feel very uncomfortable to watch Regan Campbell-Gillard rip into them on Saturday night trying to end their season. I think if Junior Paulo's got his head on, Isaiah Papali'i's been excellent. This could be the moment of truth for Mitch Moses, because if he's got the big boys rolling up the front, this is his game. He's 26 years old. He's the marquee man for the Blue and Gold. They need him to take control and lead them to victory. I think Clint Gutherson was a little bit quiet again last week. I don't know if he's injured, but hopefully he is up and back to his damaging best. The thing we're not getting this year, boys, and I don't know if you've noticed, is because they're up in Queensland in these bubbles, we're not able to get cameras to a lot of their training. So we don't know, you know, if players are carrying certain things into the games. You know, they're controlling all the narrative coming in and out of the club. I do have someone who is a trainer. He said he's been with the Eels this week. He said they are switched on, ready to go. Very different intensity that they've brought to their training this week, and they need to, because it's now or never for Para. But I've tipped the Panthers. I just think they should have more oomph in their game, for want of a better description.
By how much, Vonnie?
10.
Loza?
This will be a great game. I think Penrith last weekend, they just thought they'd go into that game, they'd win, they'd move on without thinking about the consequences. You know, we've seen how confident they are. And I think they always felt they had South Sydney's measure. But the longer the game went against them, the more frustrated they became. They weren't patient. They were making breaks. South Sydney's scramble defence put them under pressure, and they failed to capitalise on what they were creating. And that led to a frustration. So I think they start faster in this game. And the key for mine is Parramatta's start. They've got to start strongly. They've got to try and not blow Penrith away, but they've certainly got to match the intensity and the ferocity that we know that Penrith can start with. But that's a strength of the Eels. And I reckon if you can control the middle against Penrith, you can control Cleary. And Cleary is their most important player. So if you can limit the effectiveness of their go forward, control their ruck speed, you can make plays at Cleary and put him under pressure and make him play before he wants to. And again, with him carrying that injury, he's just off a touch. You know, he's not fully confident about digging into the line, I don't think. And he's playing a little bit earlier than what he did before he got injured. So they've got to be able to control that middle and control it well and put pressure on Cleary. And then the longer the game goes, the closer it is, the more doubt starts to build in the back of the Panthers' mind. James Fisher-Harris has been a key player for them all season. The last 2 weeks, I'm really interested to see whether he's injured or not, because he's averaging over the season, he was about 140, 150 metres per game. He hasn't reached, I think, 90 in his last two performances. And I know he's been away and he's had time off, but he's had two games now to get back ready to go, but they haven't been at the same stand, and I think he's the barometer for Penrith. I think he really sets the tone. So I reckon he'll be set for a big game, and the collisions in the middle of the park will be massive. Mitch Moses possibly produced his best ever game last weekend in a big match. He was making the right play at the right time, which was effective for him. And he's also learnt, and hopefully he's learnt, that the simple play can be the most effective play at times. You don't have to go for that triple cutout pass. You don't have to go for a 70-metre touch finder. You know, it's just keep it nice and simple. Challenge the line with your running game. Make sure you shore up your side of defence, which will be under pressure this week because he defends on that right side. So Fergo and Penasini and Moses will be under plenty of pressure. Penrith left their defence. They always talk about it. They'll be trying to nail that at training this week. You've got Kickow. You know, you've got Toho. You've got Burton. You've got Luai. That's their side they'd like to dominate and flood. So Parramatta's right edge, it needs to be strong. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Penrith can bounce back, and that sets up a wonderful prelim final if they take on Melbourne, or when they take on Melbourne. But I think Penrith win, I think, about 8.
Penrith by 8. Pup?
Panthers by 16, and I think we're about to see a great example of how sport works in this country. Mitchell Moses has been front page news, nothing but praise. Let's see what front page of the paper is after this game, unfortunately, for Mitch and Parra.
Yeah, Penrith by 12 for me. Now... So we've both gone. Everyone's gone the same, haven't they? Manly and Penrith progress, which is what the markets are telling us as well. Vonnie, before you go, Uncle Laurie, it's Group 1 Saturday again. So what's Uncle Laurie got for us?
All right. Out of the Uncle Laurie Black Book, we're at Randwick on Saturday, race 7, number 9, Hungry Heart, a very nicely bred mare. She's a Frankel mare. In the George Main. So she goes up against very elegant Colding and, you know, a lot of class runners in that race. But Waller could cause a bit of an upset with Hungry Heart.
Yeah, right. The Oaks winner and the Vinery winner from the autumn. Yeah, wasn't too far off Mwanga there in the Wink Stakes first up. Had a bit of a freshen up since. So, yeah, there you go. $13, $2.90 the place. Why not? Good on you, Bonnie. Yeah.
Uncle Laurie's having a wonderful time on Twitter. If anyone wants to give him a follow, at Laurie Uncle.
Yep.
he's at home in lockdown. He's up for the chat, everyone.
Well, he's got his followers, Vonnie. I know that.
thanks so much, boys. Really appreciate it.